lie down and then you...
With poop.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Papa Hotel Lima Echo November radio check.
Papa Echo November, good afternoon, Ritu 5.
Good afternoon, Ritu 5 as well, Papa Echo November.
Welcome, fellow patriots, redoubters, and those who love liberty more than false security, and who fear God more than men. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've just tapped into the 24th broadcast on Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. It's an honor to have you all with us, as usual. We're going to do something a little different tonight than the usual format. Last week, I mentioned that this week we'd be talking about the EMP threat and the cyber threat. I don't know what I was thinking. I think I just glanced at the list of upcoming topics and got ahead of myself, because we really need to discuss those things, but that's not coming up for at least a few weeks. So now, before I get too much into what we're doing tonight, I wanted to mention on the air, for those of you who missed the posting on the blog, now, we've got a special guest that's going to be with us next week. You've often heard us announce Radio Free Redoubt as the voice of the American Redoubt movement. We're here to inspire and encourage, inform, and offer resources for those of you who are moving to the American Redoubt. And we're here to be a beacon of light for those of you trapped behind enemy lines in occupied America and occupied Canada, and occupied Great Britain, you name it. But it's time to hear from the true voice of the American Redoubt, the man who started it all by announcing the concept of, and formally naming, the American Redoubt. You all know who I'm talking about, the author, the survival blog editor, and former Army intelligence officer James Wesley Rawls. I'm looking forward to that, as I know so many of you are. There's something I need to mention on that note, though, because of the huge popularity of Mr. Rawls and the following that he has of survival bloggers and his readers, which include myself. But those numbers count into the millions of people. And we know that on the rare occasion that he steps out into the public to speak, people show up and listen. So now, since Radio Free Redoubt is a mere 6 months old, and although we're steadily growing and expanding, we have limited resources like bandwidth, which limits the numbers of simultaneous listeners in the audience. So we're likely to exceed that limit next week. And you all know we begin broadcasting a couple of hours before the John Jacob Schmidt Show, with what we call the pre-show broadcast, like episodes from the International Spy Museum and Wall Builders American Heritage Series. I highly recommend linking up and start getting your computer receiving the stream as soon as possible, before the listener limit is reached. If you try to show up at Radio Free Redoubt 2 minutes before the show, you stand a good chance of getting bumped. Of course, anytime that you come on to radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com. If we're supposed to be streaming and you're not getting anything, hit your refresh button or reload and refresh that, and it should start right up, unless we're past that listener limit. You can always, of course, listen about a half an hour later when we upload the MP3 recording of the show and re-air it. And plus, we'll be uploading it to the Podbean site as quickly as possible afterwards so that you can listen to it anytime during the week or download it. Now, speaking of that, we've had kind of a rash of listeners emailing asking us how they can download the shows. Remember, we have a site at Podbean. It's a site specifically designed for uploading MP3 files of podcasts so that you can listen to all of our previous shows. You can download them onto your computer and onto your iPod or iPhone, and you can get the embedding code also to put a Radio Free Redoubt player on your own blog or your own website or social networking site. So you can share Radio Free Redoubt with your own friends or and followers, like some of our listeners have done with their own blogs. Now, tonight, I want to introduce you to an elected official here in the American Redoubt. He's not with us physically tonight, and in fact, I don't even think he knows we're doing this unless you're listening. I'm talking about Washington State Representative Matt Shea, a true patriot to the core. He's also a veteran who served, I think, in Bosnia, I believe as a company commander. Well, this is an interview that he did with Michael Bolden, who is the founder of the 10th Amendment Center, another great patriot. I had the honor of meeting and talking with at the Moscow Freedom Fest a couple of months ago. But this interview was done back in September of 2009. But I really think re-airing it is relevant today for a couple of reasons. First, for the elected officials we have today, as far and few between as they may be, who are true patriots dedicated to fighting for limited government and lower taxes, freedom, and Americanism and constitutionalism, I think we need to know who these people are, because these are the leaders we are going to need and who will rise up in the darkest hour at a time when we're going to need them the most. We need to know who to rally behind when, after a collapse, leaders start standing up and saying, well, I guess I'm in charge. Listen to me. Do what I say. If America collapses like so many are estimating is going to happen, how do you tell the friend from foe when it comes to the supposed leaders that will be trying to establish themselves as the one you need to follow? Well, you identify them now. Especially you identify your future leaders, the ones that you know are going to ensure that your values are represented and protected and promoted. You want to find the leadership in your community that has a history, that has fought all along for a constitutionally controlled and limited government and individual and state sovereignty and lower taxes and responsible decision-making in government. We're real good at identifying the bad apples. Everyone loves to point out the one you just want to hate, the socialist, the globalist, the people's movement, the communist crowd type that's trying to fundamentally change America into Europe. And we should be paying attention to them, so we know who the wolves are, and especially who the wolves in sheep's clothing are. But we also need to be identifying who the sheepdogs are right now, the protectors of the flock, the ones we know today that we'll be able to trust tomorrow. Because the wolves are going to try to destroy the sheepdogs, the protectors of our liberties, and the protectors of our Judeo-Christian values, the protectors of our American heritage and our sovereignty. People that have been fighting for that all along without compromise. I think we really need to start orienting our minds toward that way of thinking. If we don't, then the General Bethlehems are going to step up to the plate and take charge. Remember General Bethlehem from one of our earliest shows? The show titled The Bethlehem Effect? Yeah, go back and listen to that one again. In fact, if you haven't, go to the Podbean site and listen to all of the past shows, starting with week one. Or better yet, download them and put them on a CD. Anyway, a quick break, and then we'll be right back to hear Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center interview Washington State Representative Matt Shea. Don't go away.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
You are listening to the 10th Amendment Center's Constitutional Conversation. My name is Michael Bolden. I'm the founder of the center, which you can find online at 10thamendmentcenter.com. Joining us today is a state representative from Washington's 4th District, Matthew Shea. Representative Shea, it's an honor having you here with us. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on.
You're a first-term legislator there in Washington, and I became interested in your work when I learned about HJM 4009, House Joint Memorial 4009. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about what this is, and also what is going on in the state of Washington vis-a-vis the federal government that compelled you to introduce this memorial?
Well, you know, as you probably already know, on 10th Amendment issues, it touches virtually every facet of our lives right now. And HJM 4009 was just simply a way to put the federal government on notice that they had overstepped their bounds under the 10th Amendment and that we were reclaiming our state sovereignty in Washington. The federal government has overreached in areas like education, climate change. We saw some legislation this year. And just a myriad of different areas. And so it was a way to put the federal government on notice to say, hey, back off. We are reasserting our state sovereignty.
What are some of the things that you see as the most egregious pieces of legislation from the federal government that constitute federal overreach? Some people will say health care. Some people will say real ID. Other people will look to issues on the left. What do you see as going on there in Washington?
I think one of the most alarming was, and this was actually a couple years ago now, when the federal government tried to take over the National Guard and be able to federalize the National Guard without gubernatorial consent. That's probably the most alarming one. And to our governor's credit at that time, there was pushback. But when you start trying to federalize state soldiers and sailors, and airmen and Marines and try and do that, you know, where they're supposed to be reacting to natural disasters. I think that's a problem. I think it's a big problem. And so the National Guard federalization, I believe, is probably the most egregious example.
Well, that's really interesting that you bring that up. There's a long history of this, and the Constitution is pretty clear as to what the Guard should be used for. It's to repel invasions, suppress insurrections, or to enforce laws under the Constitution that are not being enforced. And the federal government has used all kinds of excuses to put the guard in harm's way that are not constitutional. When you said there's some pushback in Washington, what was the status of that up there?
Hey, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're on Radio Free Redoubt. You've been listening to an interview with Washington State Representative Matt Shea. The interview was conducted by another patriot, a defender of the Constitution, and a proponent for a constitutional government, and the founder of the 10th Amendment Center, Michael Bolden. Michael and his 10th Amendment Center is spearheading some powerful legislative and legal campaigns battling federal legislation that's encroaching on the state's rights. I'd really like to encourage you to go to their website at www.10thAmendmentCenter, that's T-E-N-T-H, 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Find out more about what they're doing to push back against the federal and the globalists' agenda of eroding our sovereignty. Also, I want to take a moment to talk about Radio Free Redoubt's mission objective. Among other things, one of our goals is to keep the Patriots, Redoubters, connected across the American Redoubt and across the continent and beyond. Whether you're in the American Redoubt or on your way, or if you're an OAR, that's outside the American Redoubt, trapped in occupied territory. How appropriate that the Communist People's Movement chose the word occupy to identify their movement. That's fitting. Anyway, one way to stay connected is by being a regular listener and a visitor to the blog. Better than that is to join the American Redoubt Network, no matter where you are in the world. When you go to the AMRON and American Redoubt Network page on the blog and follow the instructions, you'll get access to the American Redoubt website to include the communication plan and frequencies, and you'll have access to the American Redoubt Network forum where you can communicate with other redoubters and exchange ideas. And those are all great if the internet doesn't go down. But if there are disruptions to the infrastructure, man, that's a mouthful, including and especially the internet, you'll be completely cut off from other patriots and redoubters if you don't have a plan. And we'll talk more about that plan in the next break segment. All right, I'm going to return you now to the Representative Matt Shea interview with Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Well, the status was, as I understand it, that the federal government ended up reversing itself on that decision. I believe it was a rider to the 2006 supplemental defense bill, if I recall correctly. But the federal government ended up reversing itself on it. But still, I understand that the Pentagon is briefing lawmakers and is briefing the president on a proposal to do the very same thing again, and particularly this time in cases of natural disaster or, quote, emergency. And the term emergency obviously is not defined well. So I think that's pretty alarming. I think the decentralization of power, limited government is a hallmark of our American institutions and our American system of government. And to start centralizing government, as we're seeing under the Obama administration, is very troublesome.
Now back to HJM 4009, what's the status of that? And also, a lot of people will ask us questions, what's the difference between a memorial or a resolution or a bill, for example? Can you give us a little information on that?
Well, you know, the memorial, the purpose of that is just to put the government on notice. It doesn't really have any teeth. It's just to put the federal government on notice that they're overreaching. And the status of HJM 4009 is it didn't get a hearing. We requested a hearing. it did not get a hearing, and it was specifically not given a hearing by the head of that, the State and Tribal Government Affairs Committee. So that's Representative Sam Hunt. And so we're trying to get it a hearing this next session, and there have been a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails into his office to make that happen, but it still at this point appears that there isn't any budging on his part.
When you say this is something without teeth, how would you describe the need for introducing such a memorial? If it doesn't have any action behind it, where's the importance? Does it bring awareness? Is it serving first notice that there's going to be follow-up? Or what's the reason for that?
Well, I think, you know, under the law, you have to give somebody notice before you start following up. And so I think that notice has been given by the states that have actually passed their joint memorials to the federal government. And so now I think it's time to move to a period of putting teeth into actual bills and asserting our state sovereignty with actual legislation, and I think that's the next step.
This has been happening quite a bit in a number of other states. One of your almost neighbors, Montana, just recently put into law the Firearms Freedom Act, as well as down in Tennessee. And over in Arizona, there's going to be a vote in 2010 on a possible state constitutional amendment, which would effectively let people opt out or ban a national health care plan. Are there some things that you can give us insight on in the state of Washington that you might be considering introducing that would nullify specific federal laws in the next legislative session?
Sure, I can tell you exactly what we're considering. We're considering a piece of legislation similar to that of Montana's, you know, particularly regarding the Interstate Commerce Clause, where I think clearly that has been misconstrued to allow the federal government to regulate just about anything. And we are going to be introducing a similar piece of legislation to the Montana Firearms Freedom Act. In Washington, we are also going to be introducing some legislation to nullify cap and trade, which was a big issue actually this last year in Washington. Also health care. And there are some other pieces of legislation that we're going to be introducing regarding what's called Sheriff First. In other words, sheriffs are the preeminent and the top law enforcement officer in a county. So if a federal agency comes into a county, they have to operate with the consent and with the notification to the sheriff of that county. And I think that helps check the federal government in a very significant way, because a lot of these agencies, I think, are really operating with impunity right now.
Well, the idea behind something like the Sheriff's First Law would be that if enough counties were basically resisting federal law enforcement in their area, the federal government would just not have the manpower to be able to enforce some of these unconstitutional laws and regulations. Now, talking back again about the Guard, there's an interesting movement in a number of states around the country called Bring the Guard Home. It's basically to introduce state-level legislation to reassert the governor's authority over the Guard and make sure that any activity is constitutional. Have you seen any calls from activists along those lines up in Washington?
Not too much. I myself served as a National Guardsman. I was an infantry company commander in Iraq in 2005, and I think when you use the Guard, you have to have a declaration of war, and I think that gives some pretty clear lines of when the Guard can or can't be used. And you know, we haven't declared war since World War II, and I think that's really muddied the waters. So, you know, I think some legislation like that needs to be introduced to say, you know, federal government, if you're going to federalize National Guard troops, it has to be a time of declared war. So everybody's on the same page. The law is very clear in those areas, and it's not a surprise, especially to states, that their Guard troops are going to be called up, so that they can prepare themselves for it and prepare themselves to have some contingencies in case of natural disaster.
Well, it's important that the Guard does its natural or listed functions. Otherwise, what you end up doing is leaving the country or the state open to an emergency where those people aren't available. So that there's reasons behind that, clearly.
Precisely.
So whether it's federal overreach in health care or in use of the Guard or in creating free speech zones. There's all reasons for it. And when the federal government stays out of these areas, it keeps us not only safer, but more free. The Constitution clearly is not a document that's just written for the right or for the left. But I think it's kind of unfortunate that so many people have been seeing these sovereignty resolutions and this 10th Amendment movement as a right-wing movement. Is there anything that you see from people on the left? I know Washington's no red state, but is there anything that you see from people on the left that can come together over these important issues?
Well, you know, I'll tell you kind of a funny or maybe not so funny story. I had a legislator from downtown Seattle, which is a liberal bastion. And he came up to me after I'd introduced HDM 4009, and he said, "Matt, I really want to support you on this, but I need to know what the 10th Amendment is." And I thought, oh, well, you know, we have quite a ways to go. But I explained it to him, and he actually was supportive. So there are people out there that are supportive if they can be taught and educated on the concept and actually read the source documents that our founders have so generously left us. They understand the issue, and they can get behind it.
Well, that's a real truism there that so many people really just don't understand. They hear a 10th Amendment resolution, they think, oh, we're seceding. There's states that are leaving the country, but it's clearly not about that.
We're going to interrupt the interview once again, take a little break for just a moment. I'd like to continue talking about the Keeping You Connected portion of our mission objective at Radio Free Redoubt. If the internet goes down, then there goes the podcast and the forum, the email, and so on. We have to anticipate that in a collapse or a Teotihuacan situation, those means of staying connected will be non-existent. How do you stay connected then? Well, one, by one-way monitoring. If you have a scanner, you can listen to normal emergency services communications, and you can monitor MERS and FRS channels on a scanner. If you listen on channel 3, then you have the best chance of hearing other redoubters making contact with each other, or of hearing AMRON operators broadcasting information and intelligence updates put out there by them to keep you informed. And also with a scanner, you can listen to the 2-meter and the 70-centimeter ham bands. You don't have to know everything about that. You don't have to be a ham operator to understand what that means. You can do a quick little Google search on it, or you can just simply find those frequencies at our AMRON and American Redoubt Network page and just punch those frequencies in. You don't have to understand all the dynamics of how ham radio works. Now, if you've joined the American Redoubt Network, you'll have the specific primary and secondary frequencies that other AMRON radio operators, ham operators, will be communicating on. Those are ham bands, which legally require a license. But remember, it's perfectly legal to transmit on a ham radio frequency in a real-world emergency. You don't have to have a license in that case. Now, the other type of one-way monitoring would be by shortwave radio or a shortwave receiver. You definitely want one that has single sideband capability, and you get what you pay for. You can spend $50 on one or $13,000 on a shortwave, that's HF, high frequency, receiver. So get the best one that you can afford. A great happy medium would be something like the Grundig Satellite 750, which runs anywhere from $250 to $300. If you can afford it, I'd recommend getting into something specifically designed as a ham receiver, like the ICOM R75, for example, for $400 to $500. That way you could easily pick up all the AMRON frequencies and much more, including citizen band. Secondly, is the two-way communications, starting with the CH3 project type communications like a CB, FRS, and MERS. That way you can not only hear what others are saying, because now this is two-way communications. You're not just listening. You can also speak to them, too. But they're extremely limited in range. Still, they're great to have because they're so common. Now, three is a ham transceiver. I would recommend for two-way ham radio. Depending on what band you're operating on, you can talk for several miles in your local area or thousands of miles and even around the world with other radio operators who you can share information with. Either way, information can save your life. Knowing what's going on in other places can help you in dealing with what's going on or what's coming your way. If all you're using is CH3, you're only getting a sliver of the communications going on among redoubters in a down situation. Members of the network have access to the entire frequency plan, so they have more options for listening and getting information. So email us and write, "I'm a redoubter," and put in the subject heading, and put the information in the email that's outlined in the AMRON and American Redoubt Network page located on the blog, and we'll get you plugged in and make sure you have access to that website and the forum. It's safe, it's easy, it's simple, it's made it as secure as we possibly could. Your personal information is not put out there. Go through the AMRON or the American Redoubt Network member directory, and you can see there's no way of specifically identifying an individual. If you want to be put in contact with another individual, which we get all the time from people, you simply email us and say, if you have, for example, you have another redoubter that you can see on the member directory that lives in the next county over from you, or maybe in the same town or the next town over, say, hey, this is another redoubter that's close to me. If you want to get in contact with them, you email us and say, hey, put me in contact with, Lima 06. And what we do is we pass along your information to Lima 06, and if he feels comfortable with it, then he can contact you and email you. So we try to create a buffer there for security reasons. So let's see, where am I? I'm looking at my notes here. By the way, we've now included on the forum, we've included the forum on the American Redoubt Network page. So you don't have to link to a separate forum site like it is now. It's two separate sites. You can still go there if you want, or you can just go to the American Redoubt Network site, and the forum is right there now. It's all in one place. All right, a little extended break segment there, and we'll talk about more about this in the future. And so we'll return you now to the MP3 audio version of the interview with Representative Matt Shea when he appeared in a podcast over at the 10th Amendment Center with founder Michael Bolden. This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the heart of the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for the remnant of God-fearing, liberty-loving American remnant fleeing the globalists and communists that are occupying America. All right. Okay, we'll be right back with you.
Now, where is this all leading to? Is this becoming the big issue these days?
Well, I think so. I mean, I believe that in Washington there's going to be a 10th Amendment rally, and I really think that the Tea Party movement is really starting to morph into and gain momentum in and through the 10th Amendment movement, because really they're about the same things. It's about federal government overreach. It's about overspending. It's about the fact the federal government no longer recognizes the Constitution as a limiting document, but as a document that really authorizes them to do whatever they want to. So I think that movement is really, and I think that issue, the issue of the 10th Amendment, is going to be the seminal issue in the next 2 years. So I see that happening, and there is going to be rallies in Washington regarding that.
There's been a lot of people that have been contacting us about what they can do up in your state of Washington. There's been a number of groups that have started coming together and forming around this 10th Amendment issue. I know we have two listed over at grassroots.10thamendmentcenter.com, and there's been more that have been contacted us. What do you feel is the best thing or the best way that people can spend their energy in Washington? Is it calling other legislators? Is it working with other activists? Or what do you feel is the most important step for individual people to take?
Well, I think at this point, I mean, there have been a ton of emails and a ton of phone calls into the people that are on the state government and tribal affairs committee. And I think, though, now they have to start meeting with their legislators face-to-face. That's very, very effective. Scheduling an appointment with their legislator and going in and actually sitting down with them and talking with them about the 10th Amendment, about limited government and their thoughts on that. And I think that that really puts legislators in a spot where they have to make a decision and they can't really put it off. I think the second way people can get involved is come to some of the rallies. And if there is a rally with the 10th Amendment in January, and I understand that there's one being planned at this point, they need to show up at those rallies and show their solidarity for the issue and to show that it's not just a couple people, but that it's a majority that's silent no more.
You were recently had signed on to our 10-4 pledge. It's a pledge that affirms the original meaning of the 10th Amendment, makes a number of promises. Now, while this has not been released to the general public yet, we'll be doing it very soon. What about that pledge struck you as the most important? What's your motivation behind getting in this movement?
Well, I think there's two things. I think the first is the loyalty to the Constitution. I mean, one of the very one of the big differences between the American system of government and any other system of government is the fact that we pledge loyalty to an idea, to the Constitution of the United States. And I think that needs to be important again. Now, for too long, I think it's been ignored. So I think the pledge really addresses that. And I like the one part I really liked, and I think that that your listeners would really like, is the part about accountability to the voters and making available, whatever votes that you've cast. I think it's important because, you know, politicians unfortunately have a habit of saying one thing on the campaign trail and doing another when they get over into their office. And I think we need to hold them accountable. I think voters need to hold me accountable. So I think that's a very important part of the pledge as well.
Is there a place where people can find you? Do you do any writing or blogging? Where can people keep in touch with you, website or something like that? What's available?
Well, there's a couple websites available. They can sign up for my official legislative news letter at my legislative website, which is www.houserepublicans.wa.gov/Shea. Or they can go to the campaign website, which is where I put out some more information, and that's just VoteShea, that's SHEA.com.
And before we get going here, what brought you into public service, not only joining the Guard, but also serving as a legislator? What was your motivation? What's the background behind this that drove you towards following the Constitution and working to help the public in your area?
Well, really where it started, I'm a 10-year Army veteran. I served two combat tours overseas, one in Bosnia and one in Iraq. And then when I came back from Iraq, I lost one of my soldiers over there, and I saw his sacrifice and the way his family acted about his sacrifice. And I thought, you know, we have these young men and women sacrificing for the Constitution and to protect and defend us here in the United States. And I think I needed to join the battle to make sure that their sacrifice wasn't for nothing. So that's really what my motivation was.
And it's all to expand everyone's liberty, and that's the whole reason that the Constitution was written. But we are just about out of time here. I wanted to thank you again, Representative Shea, for taking some time out of your busy schedule. It's been an honor having you with us today.
It's been my pleasure and my honor as well. Thank you for having me on.
Have a great day, sir.
And that concludes the interview of Washington State Representative Matt Shea, a great patriot, Christian, and American. Again, I'd like to encourage you to check out the 10th Amendment Center also and support the work they're doing. Also, check out Representative Matt Shea's website at www.voteshea.com. We'll be posting all of the stuff on our Highlights and Resources page for today's broadcast, so you'll have those links available to you. You can just click right on those links, put them in your favorites if you wish. Let him know when you contact him, and I want to encourage you to do that. Let him know how much you appreciate everything he's doing to preserve freedom and for his fight in resisting the overreach of government, both at the state and federal level. Thank him for his service to our country, both in and out of uniform. Thank him for what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, and for being a leader we can trust and count on in the days ahead. Tell him you're a redoubter. He'll know what you mean. Okay, remember, if you don't already have one, you need to get at least one type of two-way communication radio, either a CB, preferably with single sideband capability, or an FRS, that's Family Radio Service Radio, or a MERS radio. That way, you can use the CH3 project to contact other redoubters around you. Then get one type of one-way communication device for monitoring, either a scanner or a shortwave receiver if you can't afford both. Now, don't forget to start a communications folder with the frequencies listed at the American Redoubt Network website, including a list of the member directory, so you know what type of communication those around you are most likely going to be monitoring or transmitting on in a Teotihuacan event. We'll be doing more on this in the future, and we'll be working on a practice net as well so redoubters can start testing the system. More on that in the future, because right now those communications plans and frequencies are in place, but nobody's using them. We don't want you to use them because that's for a real-world situation. We're going to start setting up a practice net so redoubters can start communicating with each other using this system. All right, I'm going to call it good for this week. Stay tuned right after the show for some nostalgic old-time radio. Then, coming up right after that, we'll be re-airing the show you just heard in case you missed any of it. And as always, we value your suggestions and feedback. So thanks for all of your support, and welcome aboard to all our new listeners, our redoubters, and those of you who have just joined the American Redoubt Network in the last week. Pray for help for us, for me. We need some website magicians and other talent to step up and give us a hand with some stuff. We're growing and are getting stretched a little thin in some areas. Anyway, you all have a great week, and may the Lord richly bless you and yours. Drive safe out there on those snowy roads. This is John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.